755 is real with David O'Brien and Eric O'Flaherty is on the air now. Hey, welcome back to 755 is real. I'm David O'Brien, Braves writer for The Athletic. And we got a really special guest today, Eric O'Flaherty, my regular co-host. Eric, what's going on, dude?
Not me. I'm not the special guest.
No, you're not guest. You're just a normal guest. But how about our special guest today? Mike Soroka has agreed to come on with us.
What's up, Mike?
Guys? Welcome, Mike. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for agreeing to do this, man. And in your honor, Neil Young, man, Canada, let's go.
Very nice. As I wore my band t-shirt. I knew you guys appreciate it.
What do you got? Oh, yeah, so yeah, there you go. All right.
Time down.
All right. So. Well, listen, man, I don't even know where to begin with you, but let's just ask. I know everybody's wanting to know. The big question is, how do you feel? Where are you? And how soon are you going to be back, do you think?
Yeah, I'm close. We're just finishing up some last things to be an athlete again. I think that's one thing we want to make sure we hammer down this time around, was instead of trying to marry the two together and, you know, the build-up process and all that, really just finish rehab, finish being an athlete, and then get back to baseball. I think, obviously, with my limiting innings going to be this year, it was going to be, you know, hopefully sub 100 anyways. There's no real rush, you know, to get back in May. You know, it just wasn't, there's no point. So I think it took me a while to kind of just settle into that and settle into just taking it, you know, 2 weeks at a time. I think that's kind of what we were able to do is say, what do our next 2 weeks look like and go from there. It's paid off. I'm really excited about how I feel. I feel bouncy again. I feel springy. I'm starting to feel like the athlete I was a long time ago. 2 years ago. So it's getting close and I can't wait. And we're going to head down to Florida pretty soon here and then start seeing some hitters. And, you know, once we wrap up with all our fielding development, all of our, you know, change of direction, running stuff, then we'll think about starting assignment and building up.
If it had been the first time you did this, you mentioned May, could you have been back earlier, you think, that, or you guys are being extra cautious this time?
Yeah,
rightfully so.
We could have pushed a couple timelines and kind of moved along. You know, it's still definitely been like the last couple months that I've seen huge gains in how I felt and strength gains. You know, just allowing me that much more time to shake the rust and really just get back to being me. I think that's the most important part. I think some guys, and honestly, I might have found out the hard way the first time had it even worked out, was that, you know, you rush it back a little too soon and you miss out and you cut a couple corners in some other places. That's not what we're interested in. We're going to get back out there. And, you know, I'm excited because everything feels good. Everything feels like it should. It's coming out well. It's just a matter of time now.
Matt, what can you tell people about, because I talk to other athletes, other baseball players who've been through Tommy John and all that, and they find it almost incomprehensible how you can remain so positive and so upbeat going through two straight years of this and getting injured again before you even make it back. What about your personality or your background has allowed you to do that, to remain strong through all this? And how tough has it been, man, mentally?
Yeah, tough. Easily the toughest thing in professional sports I've ever been through, right? I mean, Eric knows he's been through it. And, you know, I would say if this was my first injury, it wouldn't have been like this. You know, being injured before is when you first start to kind of, those feelings hit you and you realize how replaceable you are in this sport. You know, I think that's the number one thing that a lot of guys are prepared to deal with is, you know, when you're done, that's it.
They nobody cares. Bye. You know,
and it's very forgiving and you know what? Rightfully so. I mean, we're the best in the world of what we do. And there's always going to be another one, especially in a day where I think guys are doing more of what they can to be the best they could be. You know, it's pretty quick. That turnover happens real fast. And I feel like having acquainted myself with that feeling first, you know, in 18 with that small shoulder issue and kind of learning that really probably helped me along in this one. But I think it just comes down to not having a choice. You know, you if you want it, you don't have a choice but to put one foot in front of the other every day, right? It's not, if you want this one to work out, especially the second time, you know, I'm not going to sugarcoat anything. It was obviously, even after the clean out, was like, all right, you're starting to get a lot of time off your feet here. And, you know, this is it, you know, this has got to work. You got to do this the right way. And I feel like, you know, that's the best time to kind of bury yourself in your work. And, you know, I've been distant to some people over the last couple of years, without a doubt. But I mean, it's because, you know, I've basically put myself away and done what I need to do on a daily basis to make sure to give myself the best chance to be better tomorrow. It's paying off, and I'm going to continue to do that until, you know, I'm better than I was before.
Yeah. That thing you said about, you know, everybody moving on without you and learning to accept that. The day after I had Tommy John, Eddie Perez walks by me in the hallway and he just whispers, "You're dead." I mean, he is like the worst at that type of thing, but he said that to me and it was like, it made it clear. But what you're talking about, you know, for me, the biggest struggle was just getting through the redundance of it and not feeling like a part of the team. How are you handling like the doubt and everything in your own head and staying positive and keeping pushing through it with such a good attitude? Because everything I've heard you say has been so positive. And are you like that when you're by yourself, or do you have your battles?
Oh, no. I mean, when I re-ruptured, I mean, that was, you know, a moment that was the most scared I've been in my entire life. And you know, I got a phone with surgeon right away, and, you know, he said, you know, we're going to fix you up. You're going to go at it. You got a lot of work to do, but, you know, I believe in you. We've done this before, and Jake Berger, and, you know, honestly, I've said this before, and I don't know if I've actually mentioned it to him directly, but the best conversation that I had, although obviously I've said it again, my dad's been my biggest supporter and
right.
The reason I've been able to do a lot of this, but the best conversation I had was with Alex Anthopoulos. You know, I was in the cages all alone the day I re-ruptured, and I was kind of just on the phone making calls, and he was the best conversation that I had that day, you know, because he laid it out for me again, kind of like Eddie did for you. It was like, you know, this is reality. This is what's happening. And, you know, he basically said that, you know, a lot of other people I don't believe would come through this. He says, but I believe in you. And, you know, obviously you're going to lose some money in arbitration. You're not going to be able to help us out the rest of this year. And that's reality, but I believe you're going to be the same pitcher you were previously. It's just going to take you a couple more years. And, you know, that was really comforting to hear, because I mean, really the next 4 weeks, it's until I got out of the cast and I kind of saw the new repair. I saw how everything felt, and it was, that's when, you know, every couple of weeks doubt started to leave my mind. Really, honestly, it wasn't until spring training this year when things really started to pick up for me. It's such a long rehab. You know, I didn't realize it when it first happened, how firm the rehab is for about 5 or 6 months. Like, it's, you know, you're battling to walk for 2 to 3 of those months once you're out of the boot. And it's just kind of, you know, it takes time. And I think personally, it fit my personality okay, because I guess I would say I'm not an addictive personality, but I am somewhat obsessive, I would say.
Right. That's the most important.
I don't mind the monotony of a lot of things. You know, right. It's okay.
Biggest challenge.
I'll sit here for hours and play guitar, and on my own, I'll sit there and do calf raises for hours. It's the same thing. So, you know, I know at times you've had to pull it in a little bit and learn how to take breaks, but you know, it's what it is. It's why I'm here today, and I'm going to continue to do so.
Yeah, but with the Achilles, it's not like, say, Tommy John is different for a position player and a pitcher. A position player can come back a few months earlier. Some tough guys or somebody at the end of their career who not is not so worried about the ramifications might come back a little sooner from Tommy John. Like Chipper came back from the knee surgery a little sooner than he would have younger.
It didn't even rehab it.
Right. With the Achilles, yeah. You really have to do, like you said, it's firm. Whether you're whoever you are, you've got to do those first 5 months and get to this point before you can really start to use all your athleticism and toughness or whatever. You can't shortcut any of those first months, right?
No, and you know, I think the other thing too, that this second time around we're dealing with, you know, a ton of atrophy. You've been off your foot for so long, and neurologically things aren't working the same either. And,
right.
You know, a lot of blood flow restriction stuff are things we use, and you know, it was twice a day.
Painful.
It was twice a day for 6 months.
Oof.
Blood
flow restriction is it burns more than any exercise I've ever done in my life. Can you explain that, Mike, what it is?
Yeah, so you know, it's funny enough. I think I've heard Pete Cicinelli talk about Eric using talking about methods with the BFR before, and I mean, what it is basically it takes your blood pressure and then it basically tells you which occlusion to use. So you use about 80%. So you're
like a tourniquet.
You're tricking your muscle into thinking that it's working harder than it is. So in situations where you have a new repair, whether it's ligament, tendon, muscle repair, you're getting the response of working it hard. Say you're doing like heavy squats, whatever it is, calf raises, but I'm only using a small band. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Without the risk of the load. So that's what Dwight Howard used to get his knees back. It's one of the most impressive things that they've come up with. I can't believe you're doing that twice a day.
We did. And then after a certain point, once the repair was like, all right, it's solid, we're good. Now we start loading it up. Now
nice.
We do weighted calf raises, you know, all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I mean, so I said, as long as you're eating enough protein and you're sleeping enough twice a day, we'll be just fine and, you know, get after it. It's the only reason that your best chance after an Achilles is to redevelop strength, right?
And you'd do it 12 times a day if you had to, right?
Yeah, I mean, like sit there and just rotate. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly what I kind of mentioned earlier. Is you get to a certain point where if that's what you want,
yeah,
that's what you got to do, right? So it's I never understood. You know, if I was later in my career, I probably would have understood it a little more when people would ask me, you know, are you done? Is your career done? I'm like, you know, like,
why? Like, hell no, I'm 23 years old, man. Well,
exactly. And that was part of it. But the other part of it is like, look, like, it doesn't change the fact that I still have Achilles to rehab. I'm still going to have to do 6 months of rehab.
Right.
Be a regular person. So
yeah.
Why?
Might as well do it. The whole thing.
Yeah, it was kind of like, this is me, this is who I am, this is what I want to do. And obviously I had a team, very lucky to have a team that stood by that and
teammates
that are you know, cheering me on to get through it. You know, I will say it also helped to have Ronald around. Selfishly, obviously I wish he was on the field, but
we
were going to go through with. Working out with you?
Yeah, we were in a similar boat last year.
Obviously
watching the team win the World Series was amazing, but at the same time, you want to be out there. So,
yeah.
Did you watch with him at all?
Yeah. And then we stayed around for once they were getting the playoff games, we'd stick around. And,
right.
We still had to get our work done before the rest of the team when we were in Atlanta, especially with COVID last year, still kind of having to separate.
Where'd you watch the games in the clubhouse?
You know, we stuck around for a couple games, usually, if you clubhouse or in, I live 6 minutes away now. So, home, and obviously Ronald had a newborn at the time too, or pretty close to newborn.
Yeah.
So, but no, once the team got to playoffs, we were around quite a bit more, and we're lucky enough to be able to travel as well. But kind of sharing that experience is sort of the same thing. You kind of grapple with some feelings of you know, you're proud, you're happy, but at the same time, there's absolutely some sort of jealousy and why can't I be out there? I should be out there, you know?
Yeah.
That had to have helped. Like you said, I mean, here is arguably the best two prospects that have come through the Braves organization in the last 10 years or more. And you guys had to be sitting there going, can you believe this shit? We're sitting here and they're in the World Series. Well, everybody's been aiming for so long and we're watching.
Yeah. I mean,
that'd be tough.
We both, I think when we came up in 18, you know, and the way that they honestly did the whole rebuild, starting with Copy and
15,
it was like, you know, if we win a World Series, it's going to be between 2019 and 2023, I think they said.
Uh-huh.
And you guys are going to be a big part of it. And so it was like, sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good plan.
Yeah.
You know? It was just, it was something that I think was tough to deal with, even tougher for me in 2020 when obviously I got left behind and they went to the bubble in Texas.
Yeah.
It's still, at the end of the day, you're still a part of a team that did something incredible, and you're still, you know, you could be heard on a shitty team or on, you know, you could be heard in the minor leagues, you could be heard in college.
Yeah.
So out of all the places to be heard, I'm glad I was on a World Series team.
Eric, let's hear from today's sponsors.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
I guess there are teams where if you had this injury, because no one's, I mean, let's be honest, no one's ever come back from this specific thing to pitch again. But there are probably some teams that would have done the bare minimum that they were required to do for you, which is pay for your rehab or whatever, but not been there so supportive all the time, gone to arbitration with you, guarantee you when you come back, we're here for you. There are some teams that might not have done all that for you.
Yeah. I think. Definitely.
Did you know, did they communicate, we're going to tender you again after the second time? Or, I mean, what was that situation like? Because that's, I mean, you know, you don't want to admit it, but that's a big deal.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, it kind of came back to that conversation I had with Alex the day I re-ruptured. And, you know, and we actually almost re-signed our contract last July. It was last July, August. The only reason we didn't was because the CBA was coming up and we wanted to wait and see what was going on there. But I mean, obviously that's an incredible thing to just be able to take a deep breath and know that, you know, I'll be able to work through next year. But at the same time, honestly, we thought about it and you know, even looking back on it, sure, it might have been, you know, a risky thought, but you know, they non-tender me and I get in a place where I get to rehab and take my time and
showcase
that I'm healthy. And at the end of the day, I'd be a free agent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
At 24 years old looking, you know, I can see where my chances are out of there. And that's something where I'm comfortable betting on myself in that scenario. And, that was another one that we kind of talked about as a possibility, but no, it's at the end of the day, it was still great to have that confidence in me, know that they're going to stick around. And we even talked about it this spring training again. It was, he was very blunt with it and it's good. I'm glad it is that way. So, very fortunate.
When you had that conversation with Alex, you were obviously here because you got hurt walking into the clubhouse. I don't think he was on that trip with us in Cincinnati. Was he here with you? Were you talking to him or was it on the phone?
No, I was on the phone. Yeah, I was on the phone. He may have been here, but he was on the phone.
And he may have been in Cincinnati. I don't even remember. I think he might have been, actually. I think it might have been the trip where his wife and kid were driving up to Cincinnati because flights were red or something. Anyway, now I said no pitchers have ever come back from this. You mentioned Jake Berger with the Chicago White Sox third base prospect. He's back playing in the majors this year after doing it twice. Not only did he do it twice, he did it the second time, like within 3 months of the first tear. which I can't even imagine that. But he had to go through a lot of stuff for a couple of years. And then he had the COVID year that he also missed because the minor league season got banged. So you said you've talked to him quite a few times, right? Because you had the same – Dr. Anderson did his surgery, the second one?
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah, he we were still quite different in how it all happened.
Obviously, right.
As you mentioned, his was, you know, 3 months in, and right from the get-go, his was – yeah, it just – something just really didn't work. Uh-huh. Whereas for some reason the sutures held for mine, and it's probably essentially what was holding mine together, was that the repair didn't take, but the sutures were so good that it was holding it until activity climbed to a point wow. where it was like, you know, this isn't it anymore. But no, I mean, he would have had to deal with honestly probably more battles with atrophy, because at that 3 month mark, you're just kind of starting to get into more, you know, real exercise that the muscles yeah. are going to start to show up again. So, yeah, I know he had to deal with a lot different battles than I did. You know, and also had an issue, I think, once he even came back in the Arizona Fall League, you know, so having him to just talk to and yeah. say that, like, look, like, you know, it's going to feel different. It's going to get to a point where it feels good, but it feels different. And then after, you know, X amount of time, it's just going to kind of, you know, figure itself out. It's been great, honestly. Right when that happened, that was another thing Alex and I talked about, was that, you know, we looked up Jake, and I think Jake was above average runner, you know, and right, he's a big dude.
Right.
So I was like, all right.
Yeah. You know, I don't need to be fast. Just need to get people out, yeah.
And let's go. So,
when you did this the first time, were you living in a place that had stairs? And if you did you stay there, or did you go in a place with one story during this whole rehab?
So, yeah, when I first did it, I was in a town home over in Smyrna, and yeah, I had to deal with those. And thankfully, my left leg's pretty good, so I was kind of jumping up and down stairs. But
yeah.
I moved actually right at near the end of my rehab, and I moved into a new build, new townhome. And on the build, I basically, you know, had the opportunity to put in an elevator for resale. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll probably never use it.
There you go.
And then yeah. It was like, yeah, 2 months later, I'm using it every day. So.
Wearing it out.
Yeah.
All right. So I said, nobody had come back from this, but at the same time, the technology is so different. Yeah. And what you just talked about, you guys talked about, which I wasn't even aware of, but the technology obviously is like every technology in other medical areas is so much more advanced. So you might be the first pitcher to come back from it, but probably won't be the last. I mean, right. It's different now than comparing it to, say, if somebody had done this 15 years ago.
Yeah, I think so. And I think they just didn't know how hard they could push it also. Right. You know, and that's part of it. But I mean, the other part is it just doesn't happen that often. So I think that's the first thing, is that you right. see it and you're just like, you know, you're struggling to find similar cases. But yeah, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. I know, you know, I can give a huge shout out to the guys at Evo in Phoenix that work with the ARP Wave, which I know Eric might know a little bit about. You know, the ARP Wave therapy has been really, really important for me neurologically, and honestly waking everything up down there again. That was a big one. And obviously the staff that I worked under in Green Bay, under my surgeon, Carrie Stella and Nick Winkler, you know, if they don't get mentioned, it'd be a mistake, because, you know, they were the ones that were able to kind of push me through this and show me, you know, the updated research, everything that we needed to do to move past it. And, there's so much that we can do. That's why I kept kind of going back to Green Bay. I was even there, you know, three, 4 weeks ago, retesting. They kind of are able to use some other things to see where I'm at and what I need to move forward. It would definitely, without all their help, would have taken a lot longer, and you know, I might not have been the same.
When you did this, and the first when we first reported that you were getting surgery done in Green Bay with that, and then of course when it didn't go as planned, people were like, what kind of great doctors in Green Bay? Why did he go to Green Bay? I tried to explain to people, this guy was based in Charlotte before. This guy works with athletes, professional athletes. He went to Green Bay because they recruited him. It's like a world-class clinic there. And this guy's recognized as the best or one of the best in the world at what he does. And the list of athletes who has gone to him. So, but talk a little bit about that and who this guy is and what kind of setup they have in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, look, Dr. Anderson, I believe, started his career closely with Dr. McKenzie, who's the head doctor for the Green Bay Packers. And just kind of how it started working out was that I think Dr. McKenzie started sending all the foot and ankle guys to Dr. Anderson, and that's kind of how he got his name,
right?
Was as the foot and ankle guy. So, you know, obviously most recently he did Kevin Durant's Achilles, and he came back to win an MVP. He's known for being pretty conservative as well, which is something that we wanted and wanted to make sure that we did this right. And, we knew right from the get-go when we started having issues that this wasn't a procedure issue. It wasn't that something happened. It was more or less what didn't happen with the repair for reasons we might never know. Might have been a reaction, you know, we just don't know. So, that's why the second time he said, you know, screw it, I'm going in, I'm going old school. We're going to open you right up. I'm going to clean away all the bad tissue. We're going to take out everything in there that doesn't look like it should be there. We're going to put both solid ends back together. And, you know, we're going to reinforce it with a hamstring tendon, not mine. It was a graft. You know, we're going to make sure that this thing is solid. Yeah. And it is. And it's a good thing.
I took that from a cadaver, a hamstring.
Yeah, correct. So, I mean, this, again, right from the get-go, it was night and day. So,
so the way they reinforced it, you might not be able to run the 100-yard dash with this new thing, but it's not going to pop. I mean, that's the important thing, right? And you can do what you need to do as a pitcher without worrying about it. The way he did it was to strengthen it so that you can do what you need to do and not have to worry about this thing happening again.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. I think, you know, honestly, I would have agreed and, you know, 2 months ago, but honestly where I'm at right now and I'm running pretty good. I think in a few months I'll feel like
playing hockey
a long time ago. Yeah. The thing with a really solid repair is for a long time it's stiff, you know, super
right,
right.
It's super tight.
I can only imagine.
But that's how it learns how to actually bounce back again. Because that's the hard part is that people stretch it out. I think it's called kind of a Dan Marino syndrome or whatever you like to call it. Where it's stretched out too early and then it has no elasticity. And then you're in big problems if you're in a speed sport. So I think, you know, a really solid repair can only be good. It's just a matter of there being more substance back there. But, you know, I had a big enough ankle where I think we had some room to work. I've been known for having thick ankles before.
Have you had a moment where, you know, you went to do something that's been bothering you or hasn't felt the same? Have you had a moment where you're like, wow, this feels really good today, or a day, and you're thinking, all right, I think I got this. I'm going to be all right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, again, in spring training, I kind of mentioned earlier, spring training was when a lot of doubt kind of
left
me, and I started sleeping better. I started, all that stuff was better. I started eating again, eating like I, you know, can. But, you know, it's once I started throwing and not noticing it throwing, I was like, okay, I can do my job. Now let's go ahead and be an athlete. And honestly, probably about a month ago, when I started to really be able to hop on that one, just that leg again, was like, all right, you know, it's fine. It took a while. It took honestly three months of kind of trying it again every week. And
it's not there.
It just feels like
one day it is.
The ankle was just taking too much and it just wasn't getting help yet. And then all of a sudden it was like, all right, you know,
That's a good feeling.
Yeah. How about that mental feeling of being able to do that? When did you get past the fear of hopping on that or whatever? Did you do it so, or was it so incremental that you never really have that?
Yeah, I wouldn't even say Eric would know this too. It's not necessarily a fear that you recognize is there. That's the weird part about it, is it doesn't, yeah. You're not actually scared for something to happen. Like, I'm doing something and I'm like, you know, I'm not actually scared to plant my foot and push,
right?
But I'm just, neurologically, it's just not happening. So you almost gotta over adjust and make it happen. So I think honestly, just this last couple months, basically pretension pushing. So you basically start to push before you hit the ground, so that when you hit the ground, you spring back out of the thing.
Yeah.
I think that was the thing that probably was the weirdest. Every time I went to Green Bay, they had new challenges for me and, you know, stuff where I kind of looked at them, I was like, are you sure?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they're like, yep, promise. You know, one of the big things is when you're so tight and your shin can't move in front of your foot like this, right? You're walking, you're basically going to come into neutral and then you get to pick your foot up. And it was like, all right, you know, step through, let the weight fall forward over your foot.
Yeah,
it's like
That's how plyos were for me. The plyometric throws, you know, you start throwing off a trampoline and catching it, and they tell you to, you know, just, it's like a 1 pound ball. You know, it's heavy, and they're telling you to throw it, and you can't. I couldn't get myself to relax into the throw. You know, I catch it stiff and just bring my shoulder back and push it down. And you get over that hurdle. And you don't trust it, and then you relax and it doesn't hurt. And you're kind of almost expecting it to hurt or not really fire the right way. And then it does, and it's like, oh shit, okay, this might be all right.
Yeah.
That's funny. You mentioned Dan Marino. I was covering the Dolphins in 93 when he tore his Achilles. And he came back, and he was towards the end of his career too. And he was never a mobile quarterback. Obviously he had, you know, a unbelievable bazooka of an arm, and that released the quickest of all time, probably. So, and Dan was not the type that's going to get it. He's kind of like Chipper at the end of his career. He's not going to do all that rehab and everything. Dan was, he wanted to come back and keep going. He had the streak of like 145 starts that was broken by that. But when he came back, noticeable limp, and Nike had to make him a high top that was double high top. It was so high that it had two Nike stripes on each side, literally. And a two, like, it was like another high top on top of that one. I mean, he could barely run at all, but he was still good because he was such an incredible passer. And he had this sixth sense that he could feel a pass rusher behind him and literally duck his shoulder and miss a guy flying by him. So, but anyway, I understand now. It's the first time I've heard that Dan Marino syndrome, but he never had that mobility again after he came back. And I'm glad you explained that, what had happened.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That's definitely a feeling that I have no interest in feeling. Yeah. For us, the first time when we first started feeling things just and thinking things just weren't right was when I, you know, tweaked my shoulder at the end of camp there, or I think it was my first rehab start in Gwinnett, at the campsite there, cause it was still just the taxi squad campsite. But, it was just like, you know, I was working to compensate in other ways to throw hard and get it out of my hand. And we basically backtracked and we're like, okay, it's just, you know, something not working properly down there to actually push force through. Already, like, again, when I stopped feeling it on the mound and it's night and day.
Guys, let's take a quick break and then we'll finish up the show. So you're back feeling now like yourself on the mound. So it must make you so happy knowing that even while people out there still might doubt that you're going to be what you were inside, you know how you feel, and you know you feel different than you did when you came.
That's
back
all that matters.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that is all that matters. And I think the cool part about that is that, you know, physically things came back really quick. You know, at the point now where I'm like, all right, you know, let's
they're having to slow you down.
Let's not rush this and let's not waste bullets before I get into games that matter. But You know, I still think that the biggest thing for me going forward over the next month or two is going to be, you know, nailing down command again. And that's the one thing, is that everything is awesome and is working great. It's just going to be a matter of, like, you know, you forget how fine of a spot you're really trying to hit. You know, and I could nail a spot on the line, but, you know, if I can just throw to one side of the plate, it seems good in the bullpen, but no, moving forward, you miss that down and away spot up 6 inches, and that ball is a line drive gap.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's where I think that's going to be the biggest thing for me over the next month or two.
You're
how's your
guy.
Stuff feel? You feel like you're able to manipulate the ball and sink it and throw your slider and everything. Like, you're playing that game now, which is fun.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, I've always been pretty quick to get my arm speed back. And that's usually something that I honestly had to learn over the last couple of years, was to really pull the reins in my off-season throwing, to let volume catch up to arm speed. You know, I think, again, right now it'll be nice once we start getting the lives. That way my size, instead of, you know, budgeting, all right, I got, you know, 30 pitches to work on, I think 40 on Friday. But I want to make sure I get X amount of each pitch in. Once we start seeing live, seeing hitters, then you can do the stuff in bullpens where you say, all right, my changeup wasn't good 2 days ago. I'm going to rotate. I'm going to throw fastball changeup. You know, I feel what I want to feel. So, we're there. And again, that's just part of being an athlete again and getting able to do some of that stuff. I can actually make those adjustments on the mound.
You're a pretty big guy, man. Did you, you've had all this time to do upper body stuff and everything. Did you have to kind of rein it in and make sure you didn't do too much of that to kind of, I got this time and I can get bigger, you know, because obviously as a pitcher, you don't want to get too big.
No, you don't want to get too overactive, I guess I would say. Like, size doesn't seem to matter as much as getting bound down. And I think when you work out a certain way for too long, you train your body out of what it's supposed to do. It's not necessarily a matter of getting too strong or too big. It's more on the lines of training the wrong way. And I think that's where, you know, for a while, for honestly my mental health, to be able to just get in there and lift was great. But at a certain point, we're like, all right, done with that. I think they gave me about 6 weeks to do what I wanted when it was like, I was like month like 2 through 4. All right, you know, go have fun, get strong, whatever, and get back into it. But I think that's another thing that some people have helped me with this offseason is learning how to actually train like an athlete up top. You know, we always know you can always sprint, you can do stuff like that to be an athlete on the lower body, but up top is something we've never really been taught to do. It's like, you know, arm care. You know, maybe do some push-ups and some things like that. But now it's, you know, I understand how to keep everything open, stable, strong, quick. And I'm starting to feel what that's supposed to feel like. So it's nice. I think I'm always going to be, you know, I'm going to continue to probably gain size. I think, you know, just talking to my dad, it's the same thing. You get to like 24. We've already seen, honestly, in the last 6 months, I've just kind of gotten bigger as it is. And
so, yeah, I noticed that.
You just kind of fill out, right? And that's where,
you
know, hopefully I show back up. And I left the big leagues still kind of a kid, and come back as closer to a man. That would be great.
So you might shock some people and come back and be better than ever. Not immediately, but in the not too distant future.
Yeah, I don't see why not. You know, you see the,
that's awesome.
He's like, this is what we talked about yesterday, was getting to watch like Max and Ian get to work on their craft every single day. And I think that's where, you know, physically Max, I think, is still getting better. You know, he's still seeing gains when he goes into the off season. He was a later grower. He's sort of the same thing.
Oh yeah.
He's got room to move into, but his biggest gains the last 2 years have been, you know, craft, his consistency, breaking ball consistency, you know, knock on wood, most days he pretty much has the same repertoire most days.
Yeah.
Some pitches might be better than others, but over the last couple of years, he's been able to kind of take them out and you know what you're going to get. And that's, I think, the step that, you know, I need to make to move into that category of elite.
And I, yeah.
Why you're seeing him do it is because you can bank on seeing, you know, 5+ pitches every night. It's getting fun to watch. So, yeah, I think that's again, what's really going to move me forward. But, you know, we're doing as much as we can. And I got a chance to learn a ton, especially this last rehab, about some mechanical adjustments, some things that, you know, could be really beneficial and, you know, things that were probably hurting me in the past and I just didn't know it. So I'm excited to kind of get going on those things and put those to use.
Well, I've kept you longer than I said I would, but just a couple of quick things. What have you thought of, Kyle Wright's improvement? I mean, since you got hurt,
yeah.
This guy's come so far in this, just this year.
I mean, we could say this now and we always knew it was in there.
Yeah. Right?
We saw it. You watch him throw bullpens. He's a 5th overall pick. You knew there was just a matter of something small. And honestly, you'd have to talk to Kyle about exactly what he thinks that adjustment was. But I'm big on the mental game in the big leagues. I think it's different.
It's everything.
It's a different beast when you get in. You go back to the minor leagues and the game don't feel real. You know, they feel like exhibition games now because you got a taste of what, you know, the big times are. And that's where I think, you know, it's really hard. I think for a lot of guys, when you come up and the team's really good and you have to be good right away.
Yeah.
And that's where I think Kyle finally probably settled into, you know, just being him. I think he went back and he changed his pitch mix a little bit, started throwing more curveballs, went back to the sinker more. That's who he wanted, who his body wanted him to be, right? I've had a lot of fun watching him, playing catch with him, you know, for a lot of years. And that's why you knew that it was just a matter of time. And you wonder with some guys, and Tukey's in the exact same boat.
Yeah.
Where, you know, if you're managing that team, you feel like the second you pass up on them, they're going to find you with another team. And they're going to be like you see examples like Jake Arrieta.
Yep.
You know that one day they're going to figure out consistency, and they're going to be exactly what you knew they were going to be. It just, you know, not today, you know,
it's kind of,
so that's been really fun to watch Kyle and just see the relief. You can see the relief in him that, you know, he's comfortable in his skin. He's comfortable doing what he needs to do. And that's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. That's why teams don't give up like on Kyle Wright. And when a lot of people thought they should have just moved on from him, Tukey Toussaint's the same way. A lot of people think now they should move on from him. Sure enough, you do that and he talks to somebody or something clicks for him. Like Eric talked about all the time. All it takes is one thing from the right person tells you the right thing. And you're like, yeah. And then all of a sudden Tukey is the guy that they thought he could be. So you don't want to put all this work into a guy and invest all this time and, you know, and vice versa. And then he goes somewhere else and comes to fruition.
Absolutely. Right. I think, honestly, I think Max was in that same boat.
Yeah.
If you go back and you ask Max where he was in 2018 with the team. The team kind of had him in limbo a little bit.
He was down AA.
And he worked, you know, to his credit, he kind of put it behind him. He said, all right, you know, screw it. I'm going to go out there like it's a showcase. I'm going to pitch for 29 other teams and go be me. I'm going to put everything on the line, every pitch. And, you know, he started to figure it out. And then we saw 19. And then the last couple of years, like we already talked about, seeing what he's been able to learn every single year. You know, again, exactly what people thought he could be or would be.
Right. When the Padres had him, when they drafted him, that's what they thought.
Yeah. Is Kyle one of those guys, when you watch him throw a bullpen, you're scratching your head at how he could ever give up a run? You know, that's how Charlie Morton was for me early in his career. And it's really similar because things finally clicked for Charlie and we're like, we knew he was that guy this whole time. But Kyle, I'm wondering, like, when you watch him throw, is the stuff just, I mean, you look at it and you're blown away?
Yeah, when he gets on it, I mean, it's, again, it's the same thing. He has feel for all of them. And, you know, it's been funny, actually. The last couple of pens I've thrown in at Truist, him and Ian are typically throwing right after. Yeah. So I kind of watch both of them. But, you know, even Ian, honestly, one of those guys, I give it to him all the time. I'm like, dude, I don't know how you're throwing that hard 2 days after throwing seven innings.
Right.
I'm like, I'm pretty burnt on my bullpen day. I'm trying to feel what I want to feel and get out of there. And that's kind of where, you know, you see some special stuff like that all the time. And I think we're full of it right now. And you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. And again, learning to compete with who's just in your rotation. You know, we did it for a lot of times competing to get to the big leagues. And now, you know, it's a very real thing for me that, you know, I got to be sharp when I'm back because, you know, I got to earn that spot again.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying that to be, you know, be humble, but it's been 2 years, two to three years since I've really done anything. And, you know, you look at where our rotation is right now and what these guys are doing. And, you know, when I'm back, I got to be back. You know, that's
all right.
That's what I got to be. So, seeing those guys is just pushing me a little harder every day. It's going to be a lot of fun.
All right. Speaking of another guy, that's just to me is a different animal. Spencer Strider, dude. What do you think of this guy's arm?
Yeah. I mean, we knew it. Strider, he does a very good job in many areas to be the best that he can be. You know, I think he's the start of a generation. I think you're going to start to see in baseball of kids that grew up with, you know, either coming through college, coming through high school with technology at their fingertips, able to use what they can for mechanical analysis. And he's another one. He went through Tommy John at a younger age and had to learn a lot from it. And he did. One big thing for him, obviously, and I don't even know if it's all that public. I mean, it probably is, but you know, he was having an issue processing, you know, protein. And that's why he went vegan because he absolutely had to, and his body was breaking down. It was eating itself. So little things like that, he does a great job with his nutrition. He works out, he takes care of himself in many other ways. And he knows it, you know, I think that's the best part. And I think that's some stuff that I kind of got slack for was, you know, knowing how good you are. That's fine. You know, it's all right. There's a line in being okay with, knowing how good you are, but you don't have to tell anybody. And he doesn't, he lets his play talk. He's got a swagger on the mound that I love to see. You know, he's there to compete. He's laying it on the line, and I'm sure there's going to be a time where, you know, he's going to have to make some adjustments, and I don't see a reason why he won't. He has in the past, and, you know, right from day one, I think, you know, he knew he belonged. That's what we want. I think we're in a day and age when, again, you're seeing guys like him come up that can put zeros up now. So why not let him be him and go out and do that?
Yeah, right. You know, I was one of those wondering which role he was best suited for right now. But the way Snit's using him, man, seems like he's impacting more games using him in these multiple high leverage stints than he would be as a starter every fifth day, because he's pitched in like 11 games. And now he's in this role, kind of like Hader was a few years ago, where Hader would go multiple innings. And Strider's getting some of the big outs in a game, and not just for one inning.
He is. Last night. Honestly, one thing that I think he surprised a lot of people with is you know, his in-zone fastball command has been quite good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of people will look and objectively kind of say, oh, well, you know, he doesn't really have a third pitch, but when you're throwing 100 miles an hour and you get a pretty good idea where it's going,
that's tough.
You know, a good enough idea to not really make too many mistakes with it.
Right.
You're already at an advantage there, and especially if he's only got to worry about one lineup right now. So, he's going to be just fine. He's going to continue to improve, and you know, if they want to bring him back starting one day, I know that's something that he'd be interested in. you know, if they say we want to groom you to be a closer, I know he'd probably be into that too. So
it's nice to have those options, huh?
Special person too.
Yeah. He kind of deceiving the size because he's kind of short compared to a lot of pitchers, but that guy's put together, man. He's like you said, he works at the nutrition and works out hard.
Yeah.
He's a strong guy.
I think, again, like I mentioned earlier, I think it's going to be kind of the start of a new, of a new wave where I think we're going to start to see some pretty physically elite people more often in this sport. You know, you're always going to have your freaks. There's always going to be guys like Chapman, Acuna, guys that are just naturally just better. You know, they're physically, they're hypermobile, they're fast twitch, they're strong, they're quick, they're everything, and you know, they're pretty well born that way. But I think you're going to see a lot more guys maximizing their genetic ability to do what they need to do, and that's going to come down to biomechanics. It's going to come down to pitching labs and thinking with pitch grips. You know, it's going to be a wide variety of things, and I think baseball is going to be in a pretty good place when that starts to happen.
Boy, if Strider wanted to start and he worked on that changeup in the offseason, imagine if he could bring that pitch up just a little bit more, because the slider's good. I mean,
yeah, I think it's actually gotten better since he's been in the big leagues.
Yeah.
He threw a couple last night where I was like, ooh, you know, that's some pretty good depth. And, you know, some people say, oh, it's 15 mile an hour slower, but I don't think they quite understand 85 mile an hour slider is still pretty firm.
That's a good pitch. Right? Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And then I should, but how hitter after hitter against some of the best hitters in the game, he throws that 100 mile an hour, 99 up here, and they just can't catch up to it. And they pretty much know it's coming. But I mean, so far, nobody's really hit him.
When you have something elite, it's execution, you know?
Yeah.
Eric could tell you that more than I could. I mean, it's how many times did you know that the hitter also knew you were throwing, you know.
Oh, it's the best feeling in the world, honestly, as a pitcher, to have a pitch you know that they're looking for that you can get an out on, you know, especially being able to get an out early in the count. I had a sinker for a few years that it was like a righty comes up and I'm in a fastball count. I'm like, please swing at this, you know, because I knew they were going to top it. And I see that with Strider, where it's like, you know, he's got either some extension or spin or something to his fastball that it plays up at 99. You know, it's, you see other guys throwing 98 and it's getting torched. He's got a special fastball that they're looking for and just can't get to.
Yeah, absolutely. It's at the point where, again, he keeps it in those good spots, those spots that are hard to get to. And
yeah.
He puts it in the back of their head too a couple times against Schwarber last night, with those two breaking balls to lead off the at bat. Even if you want to guess fastball later in that count, it's still there.
Yeah, right? Can't sell out.
And Schwarber kills fastballs, man. But he could not. He looked at him when he struck him out the one time. He kind of looked at Strider like, "What the hell is this, man? Who is this guy?"
That's an important thing, and then you can see it. You can see it building his confidence with every little pirouette on the mound.
Yeah, you like that little flourish he has at the end.
Yeah,
I like that, man. I like him. Yeah, he kind of stalks the mound too. Not like Scherzer, but he stalks it a little bit. Got the mustache going. Got the whole look.
Yeah, no, he's not afraid. You know, I know he's the type of personality too that, you know, one day he knows it's going to happen where somebody gets one and, you know, they hit one 450 feet and you got to come back and throw it again.
Yeah.
He's going to be just fine handling that adversity as well.
Oh man. So we're going to, so we could see you in August then. That's right. Right. That's not getting ahead of myself here.
No. Yeah. At end of July, August, I think is when we kind of had it planned out. It's really going to matter the next like 2-3 weeks for the most part is going to be the most important. You know, it's just going to be a matter of when do we start that 30-day window on rehab assignment, because you can build up in live BPs, you can build up in sim games, but as soon as you throw in a game that matters, you know, you got to start that 30-day clock. And for me to build up innings, that's really only 4 or 5 outings. or five or six, I guess. But I think we're going to do a 6 day for the first few, just because, you know, it's there's no point. Honestly, I think even we mapped it out once I'm back in there in the big leagues, I think the way off days work, it'll be on 6 days more often than not anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what they've been doing a lot with their guys. So,
yeah. It's going to be, we're going to be just fine. So, stay the course over the next month and, yeah, hopefully see you guys, see you back in the clubhouse here in a couple months.
Well, that's tremendous, man. I know that there's going to be a huge segment of the fan. All the fans are going to be, it's going to be a moment. I'm not going to say if you get back. I'm going to say when.
Thank you.
When you get back.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, it's, you know, I can't wait to be out there for them. They've been great to me always here. And, you know, it's a place that's become home to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a road, but again, there's lots of things to learn and it'll be worth it.
Yeah, it's been a road, man. Wow. Cap tip to you, dude. So much respect for what you've been through.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah, there's lots of good examples throughout the league, guys that go through tougher things than I do as well. And we all go through our issues, and I just happen to have to do some now. So go through it now, and hopefully I'm 38 years old throwing 98 like Charlie Morton.
There you go. Yeah, you're going to have a fresh arm.
Exactly. I got 2 years off my arm.
That's right. All right. Hey, thanks so much to Mike Soroka for joining us today. And I hope everybody enjoyed hearing it from him for an extended talk, too. We really appreciate you sticking around this long for us. I know so many people have asked so many questions about you, and hopefully you answered just about all of them today. So that was awesome. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. I appreciate you having me. And my dad listens to you guys quite a lot. So when you asked me, I was like, yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Glad to hop on. Thanks for coming on, Mike.
Your dad did a great job, dude. Really did.
Yeah.
Raising you, because you do it right.
Thank you.
Respect it. All right. 755 is real. We are out.